A reading from the fifth book of Moses, commonly known as Deuteronomy. Moses said to all the people of Israel, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the book of Matthew. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The word of the Lord. Have power to comprehend with all the saints
depth and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge.
That we may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For more than 40 years now, ever since I was appointed chaplain to the Black Watch, Royal Highland Regiment of Canada, in Montreal in the 1970s, I've been fascinated by the spiritual significance of tartan. Not plaid. Most American dictionaries either define tartan as synonymous with plaid, which it definitely is not, or just describe either as any kind of woven fabric with a design of intersecting bands of color. A good Scot, and is there any other kind, will tell you, though, that a plaid, correctly pronounced plaid, is part of the upper half of a Highland gentleman's dress, in the form of a cape-like blanket, about 4 yards long, draped from and usually pinned to one's left shoulder. Originally, by the way, a Scotsman kilt and his plaid, plaid, were all one piece of fabric, one end pleated and belted around his waist, and the other just thrown over his shoulder, a la Mel Gibson in Braveheart. By contrast, an authentic tartan is always a unique pattern registered with the Court of Scotland's Lord Lion King of Arms, with whose distinguished office and duties I'm sure the St. Andrew's Society is well acquainted. Until the 20th century's indiscriminate fashion popularity of tartans, each unique pattern was usually associated with an ancient clan, or with a geographical location, or with a Scots hero or noble or royal personage. The oldest known tartan is the Black Watch, which I proudly wore in uniform for a decade, and still do occasionally and informally, and which has been in constant use in the old country since at least 1729, when an independent company of Highlanders was raised as a militia to keep the peace in the Highlands. Not even the aftermath of the Jacobite rising in 1745 affected the Black Watch tartan. It comprised the official uniform of the militias charged with keeping order during the terrible years of the English proscription of everything distinctively Scottish, and so it was never forbidden. If any of you are wearing Black Watch, and anyone may, for it's a universal tartan not restricted to any clan or sept or family, you'll notice that its tartan pattern is made up of three colors, black, blue, and green. This is in accordance with a very ancient Celtic law, laying down the number of colors people were allowed to weave into their clothes according to their rank. Peasants were limited to one color, a sort of dingy saffron. Soldiers were allowed three. Nobles, four. Royalty, five. The king, seven. Interesting, at least to me, and probably to the dean, after the coming of Christianity to the Celts, priests were allowed to wear robes resplendent with eight colors to show that when they led the people in worship of God, they were superior even to the monarch. The colors woven into the tartans all meant something. Black, sometimes for death. More often for what the Celts regarded as the highest level of God's creation, the nighttime sky. Blue for the sea, or for the daytime sky. Green for the earth's vegetation and the life and prosperity it brings. Red, the color of blood, of course, for life itself, or maybe for death, depending on the clan's history and traditions. White, for honor, purity, chastity. Purple, for royalty, and so on. The unique pattern of every particular tartan is called its set. Tradition has it that the ancient Celtic weavers wrapped threads around sticks to establish the bands of color that would be woven into their tartans. One for the warp, the vertical lines of color. The other for the weft, or woof, of horizontal lines. It's the interplay of these lines of color, sometimes in broad bands, sometimes in narrow, that give each tartan its richness and distinctiveness of coloration. For the devout Scot, and here I won't suggest that there's not any other kind, each set represents the basic pattern of a cross, Christ's cross, repeated endlessly in every detail of each set and all the sets together making up the full tartan. And that thought always brings to my mind that unforgettable phrase from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians about having power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Our tartans remind us Scots, as they ought to remind anyone who loves to wear a tartan, that the cross of Christ should be at the intersection of the breadth and length and height and depth of our lives as Christians. Weaving together the symbols of heaven and earth, life and death, honor and power and glory, nation and clan and tribe and family, they tell us that the cross of Christ's sacrificial love ought to be at the center of everything. And that is the surpassing knowledge that fills anyone who possesses it with all the fullness of God. So let me ask, what symbolic significance is there to what some of you are wearing right now? The family tartan my wife Sherry is honoring me by wearing as her sash this evening has 5 colors, a sign of the ancient royal rank of the Galbraith clan, of which the Russell family is a sept. It's black and white, blue and green and red. A set signifying heaven and earth and sea and land and life and death. In other words, everything, all there is, all held together in an absolute square and utterly symmetrical and very sophisticated pattern of intersecting crosses. Just thinking about all that from a spiritual perspective gives me goosebumps. Wouldn't it you? Now look at your own tartan, or the one you're wearing, or at your friends or neighbors if you're not wearing one, or later still at the tartans displayed in Tolliver Hall, and just think for a moment about the richness of spiritual significance you can read there. Nowadays, we are not forbidden to wear our tartans, as our Scottish forebears were, on pain of death. Not yet. But what if they were proscribed? What if we were forbidden to show any external evidence of our deep-held Christian faith. Friends, that's not such a far-fetched notion as it may seem, given the way our politically correct America is leaning. What would you and I hold so dear, if anything, as to conceal it on your person on pain of death, and cover it with your right hand in prayer before Almighty God? Which symbolic colors of our life and faith would we want to weave into the warp and woof that bespeak our spiritual identity? How courageous would we be, or how correct, about insisting that the cross of Christ is at the intersecting center of all that defines who we are and what we have and how we live? Think about it, and maybe you'll begin to understand how and why those 18th century Scots would not, could not, give up their tartans, but wore them, albeit hidden, at the risk of death, and kirked them once a year as affirmations of their faith in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose love is all the wisdom the world can offer, and all the fullness God's providence can assure, and all the inspiration their Holy Spirit can muster, now and always. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good evening and welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so blessed that you're here this evening. I want to welcome you to join us any Sunday morning. We've been here for over 175 years, worshiping God with music and scripture and serving the poor here in the heart of downtown. If you love our music as I do, you may want to become a friend of music at St. John's Cathedral. In your pews, you will see a little green slip, and on the back, if you put your name and your email address, we will let you know all of the musical events that go on at the cathedral, and we'll invite you to them. And next Sunday, at 5 o'clock, we begin the season of Advent with the Advent procession of carols, which is a beautiful service, and I'd love to see you all there. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Please kneel.
Let us pray.
O God, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants who seek through art and music to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth, and grant to them even now glimpses of your beauty, and make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
O Lord, support us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.